Well, as a child, I wanted to be all sorts of things when I grew up. I wanted to be a teacher, and I had the grade book from the school supply store to prove it. I used to grade my stuffed animals. I wanted to be a songwriter, and I used to make up songs and sing them throughout the house. I wanted to be an astronaut until I saw Apollo 13, and then I wanted to work in mission control. Seemed a lot safer on the ground. Well, over the years, my childhood dreams morphed, and I decided that I wanted to be an accountant. After all, I loved numbers. But as you can see, God had something else in mind. As a child, who I would eventually become had not yet been made known. But eventually, God showed me what He had in mind for my life, and I finally saw what I had been made to do. We all have this experience in some way in our lives. Maybe for you, your childhood dreams came true, and who you wanted to be is exactly who God wanted you to be as well. Other times, they morph and they change until God shows us what we will be, until God shows us who He wants us to become. Well, in this passage, John is referring to the end of time, the time when Jesus will return and we will be changed. And we do not know what we will be. We don't know what we will look like, what we will sound like, what we will dress like, and even whether or not we will have wings. I'm hoping for wings. I don't know about you. I'm hoping for wings. But John says that we do know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And even though in this passage John refers to the end of time, it can also speak to us today as we prepare to enter into a new year, because we do not know what 2019 will hold for each of us. We don't know the excitements and the joy that it will bring, nor the pain or the sorrow that it might bring. We don't know all of the changes that will come in 2019, nor do we know what God has in store for us in the coming year. What we will be in 2019 has not yet been made known. Well, each time the calendar ends and another begins, when the clock strikes 12:01 on January the 1st, we are given a blank slate. We have a brand new year, a gift from God to be used wisely. It's a new beginning for us, a time to reflect on what has been and what can be. And as we reflect on what has been, we may resolve to change some things. Maybe your New Year's resolutions will be to eat healthier or to exercise more. I seem to have eaten a lot of cookies during the month of December, so one of mine will be to stop eating so many cookies. Maybe you resolve to spend more time with your family, or you set a goal to run a marathon. Maybe your New Year's resolution is to not make any New Year's resolutions. And whether you make resolutions or not, in just a few days, we will have a brand new year and a brand new start. We can choose who we will be in 2019. And as we reflect on 2018, we can choose what habits to keep and what habits to change. We can choose what our focus will be in 2019. We can choose to follow God's focus for our lives or to focus on what we want to focus on. And even if we haven't always been great at following God's focus for our lives, 2019 is a great time to start. Because you see, God doesn't judge us by the past. In fact, in the passage we read earlier in Isaiah, God tells the people to forget the past, that He is doing a new thing. Our God is a God of new beginnings and clean slates. Always willing to wipe our slate clean, even when we have messed up. And like we saw in the children's sermon, we can't wipe our own slates clean. We can't get rid of our sins on our own. But God is always willing to forgive us and to throw our sins away, as far as the east is from the west. But sometimes we find ourselves holding on to those sins, unwilling to let go of the guilt and the shame that comes with them. But God never stops working in us to shape us into who he has created us to be and to help us look more like Jesus. And if we are willing, God will help us to let go of the past, to let go of our sins, and to join in the present and the future that he is building. Well, with a new year comes change. God makes changes in our lives as we follow him and work to become more like Jesus. Change will happen in our families, our communities, our countries, and even in our world. And change, even positive change, can be tough. When railroads were first introduced to the United States, there were some who feared they would be the downfall of the nation. And President Andrew Jackson received a letter dated January the 31st, 1829, that said, "As you may know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour by engines which, in addition to endangering life and limb of passengers, roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring the livestock, and frightening women and children. The Almighty certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speed." Now, that was written by Martin Van Buren, who was the governor of New York at the time. And I really have one question for Martin Van Buren, which is, what would he think if he saw 400? Well, speaking of the railroad, its measurements haven't changed in a very long time. The U.S. Standard Railroad Gauge, which is the distance between the rails, is 4 feet 8.5 inches, which is kind of an odd number. So why is it that number? Well, it's because back in Roman times, that's right, Roman times, 4 feet 8.5 inches was the width that a chariot had to be to fit 2 war horses between it. So the Romans were the ones who built the first highways in Europe to travel cross-country so they could move their troops, and their chariots created the ruts in the road. Well, when people began building wagons, they built them so that the wheels would fit in the ruts in the road. And then the people who created the pre-tram railways fit the ruts in the road there too. They used the same measurement as the wagons had used, and then the railroad used the same measurements that they had used, until finally British expats built the U.S. railroad using the measurements from Europe. So, if you have ever found yourself saying, "But that's the way we've always done it," I want you to think about that railroad and the fact that they followed the Roman chariots with their measurements. So I don't know if you have ever had this experience, but I find myself slowly turning into my mother a bit. And I find myself doing some of the same things that she did when I was growing up, even if I don't always know the reason behind it. And as I was searching for stories for this sermon, I came across one where a curious child asked her mother why she always cut the end off the pot roast. Off of every pot roast that she made, before she put it in the pan, she would cut the end off. And she said, "Because my mother had always done it that way." So then this curious child went to her grandmother and said, "Why do you always cut the end off the pot roast?" Well, her answer was, "Because my mother always did it that way." So finally, great-grandmother was still alive, and so this curious child went to her great-grandmother and said, "Why do you always cut the end off the pot roast?" And her answer is that it was because it wouldn't fit in the pan she was using. Well, these are silly stories, but they all come down to one thing. There are sometimes better ways to do things than the ways that we have always done them, but we have to be open to new things. So 2019 will bring change to our lives, just as every year does. In just a few days, a new music minister will start, the second new minister to join our church family in the last few months. This year, our church will finish our current strategic plan, and we will begin creating a new one, a vision for who we feel God is calling us to be. Each and every one of us will experience some type of change, large or small, in our lives this year. Children will go to preschool. Our five-year-olds will go to kindergarten and elementary school. Our fifth graders will graduate from elementary school and begin middle school. Our eighth graders will move to high school. Our high school seniors will graduate and begin college. Our college seniors will graduate and begin to find their place in this world. New families will form. Families will grow closer together or further apart. Things will change. Even if all that changes is the pillows on your sofa. But whatever change looks like for you, if it's large or small, good or painful, remember that God is there. Because God knows that change is hard for us. Change, even good change, can be difficult. Now, I have a confession to make. I ate a peanut butter sandwich for lunch almost every day from the time that I was a child until I went to college. So I know that change, any type of change, can be difficult because it forces us into the unknown. It's easy to get comfortable in our patterns, to continue to do things as we have always done them. Because we know what to expect, and we know what is expected of us. And change, even good change, can be anxiety-producing because we just don't know what will happen. Hear these words of reassurance from Isaiah that we read earlier in our service. From Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Isaiah reminds the Israelites of all that the Lord had done for them. God showed up for them every single time. He rescued them from Egypt. He made a way for them through the Red Sea when they were surrounded by Pharaoh's army on one side and water on the other. Do you feel surrounded in your own life? Do you feel as if there's no way out and nowhere to turn? Remember that God made a way for the Israelites, and he will make one for you. And then when the Israelites had crossed on dry land, and Pharaoh's army was still following them, and it seemed as if Pharaoh would still win, God tumbled the waters back down so that the Israelites were safe. That same God told the people through Isaiah to forget what had come before, because he was doing a new thing. And this God, who can make a way through the wilderness and provide water when there is none, is the God who saved us through Jesus and is the same God who promises to be with us every day. And he continues to promise us to do a new thing. A new year brings a new beginning for us. God gives us a blank slate. And if we listen, we can almost hear God saying, "Forget the former things. Don't dwell on your past mistakes. See, I am doing a new thing." And if we allow God to, he can do a new thing in our lives this year. Is there something in your life that is holding you back? Are you dwelling on all of your mistakes? The Lord says to forget them and to see the new thing that he is doing. God is always willing and ready to do new things in our lives. And if we pay attention, we can see him at work. So we know that God continues to work and will continue in 2019. And we know that he is doing a new thing with our church, that change is coming, but that God is working in and through it. So how can we live grace-filled lives in the midst of the changes 2019 will bring? How can we embrace the changes that God is working in our lives? How can we live as children of God in 2019? So for that, we turn back to 1 John. John reminds us to recognize the power of God's love for us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Dr. Peter Ray Jones, my New Testament professor and pastor emeritus at First Baptist Decatur, says that the Greek word here for "how great" also appears in the Gospels. In the Gospels, it is translated as "amazement." It is used to talk about the disciples' amazement at Jesus' calming of the storm. John reminds us here of how amazing, how glorious, how wonderful is the love of the Father. Let those words sink into your soul. How glorious is the love of the Father, who loves us so much that he sent Jesus so that we would know how to live, so that we could be close to him, and so that sin and death would no longer have any power over us. Are you living as though you are loved with such a glorious love? When we recognize the power of God's love for us, we live fuller lives. We live as children of God. And when we see how powerful God's love for us is, we can't keep it to ourselves. We want to share it with those around us. Love is crucial for living as children of God. Being a child of God helps us recognize the power of God's love for us, but it also requires us to love. So when asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." As children of God, we are dearly loved by our Heavenly Father. And we live as children of God when we love him with everything we have and when we love our neighbor as ourselves. And part of loving our neighbor means that we extend grace to our neighbor, just as God has given grace to us. When we share grace with others, when we forgive them when they have hurt us, we are showing them the power of God's love. When we give them grace, even when we feel that they don't deserve it, we are showing them who God is. Well, part of that also means that we must give grace to ourselves. I don't know about you, but I sometimes find it easier to give grace to others than I do to give grace to myself. I find it easier to forgive others when they come up short than I do when I let myself down. And one of my New Year's resolutions will be to give myself grace, to cut myself some slack when I struggle with change that life brings. And 1 John 3 also reminds us that God is purifying us. Peter Ray Jones says that this is a process that won't be finished until Jesus comes back, which means that we are not expected to be perfect right now. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. In fact, if he did, there would be no need for his grace. Instead, God showers us with love even when we mess up. He brings us back to him when we feel unlovable. He forgives us when we choose to do the wrong thing. He gives us grace even when we don't deserve it. He gives us a blank slate and a fresh start. May we give the same grace to others and to ourselves in 2019. Well, living as a child of God also means trusting that God will be with us through every change in our lives. It means trusting that God's love is bigger than anything else and that he knows what is best for us. Every time I find myself worrying about change, unsure about the future, fearing the unknown, I find myself turning to two passages of Scripture to remind myself that God is bigger than my fear and my worry. The first is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, which says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And the second is from Philippians chapter 4, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Over and over and over again, the Bible reminds us to rejoice, to be joyful. No matter what happens, no matter what changes come, God wants us to be joyful. When we live as children of God, we choose to have joy in all of our circumstances, because of God's great love. When we're unsure what will happen and we find ourselves anxious and worried, Philippians reminds us to share our worries and our fears with our Creator, and he will give us peace. We live as children of God when we trust God with everything that is happening in our lives, when we share our joys and excitements, as well as our worries and our fears. We remember that God is with us through it all. God calms our fears, settles our anxieties, and gives us peace. So what will you be in 2019? Is there something God is calling you to do? Is God calling you to slow down and spend more time with your family? Is God calling you to be more of who he created you to be and less of who everyone around you tells you to be? Is God calling you to take a step of faith? What you will be in 2019 has not yet been made known. But you can trust that the God who created the universe will be right beside you every step of the way. 2019 is a new year. It's a new beginning. And as Anne in Anne of Green Gables said, "Isn't it nice to think that tomorrow is a new day with no mistakes in it yet?" God is giving us a new day, a new year, with no mistakes in it yet. There will be changes, both good and bad. There will be wonderful things that happen to us, and some not so wonderful things that happen too. But through it all, we are called to live as children of God. Remember how glorious is the Father's love for you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Give yourself some grace. Give your neighbor grace. Rejoice always. Talk to God. Give thanks. Share your worries and your fears with your Creator, and God will give you peace. May 2019 be a wonderful year as we move into it as children of God. Join me as we pray. God of new beginnings, help us to let go of our fears of the unknown. Grant us your peace so that we can rest in you. Help us to listen to your voice as we move into 2019. Show us how you want us to live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.